Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good late evening to everyone out in Blog Talk Radio land. Happy Friday. Some may consider it, hey, happy Good Friday. No, this is special times. This is the special times that we do special things and we celebrate in special ways. And this is also a time that we as Christians can get attention of those that maybe have wanted to seek Christ or maybe have not even thought about seeking the love of Christ or getting to know our Savior. And it's our time to really pump up the heat and let's see what we're doing and what we haven't done. The important thing, I think, for us as believers is as we turn up the volume and turn up the furnace to make sure that we're getting out there, spreading the good news, and introducing the lost to our Savior, is when we turn up that volume, we don't need to ever turn it back down. We need to always make sure that we are doing this 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if we are not, then we are actually taking it for granted that Jesus is not coming back. And if he is, then we know the day, the time, and the hour that he is. We should always have it in our hearts to live our lives accordingly that other people can read our Bible, the Bible of our lives, which is Christ who lives inside of us. This is Christ that they're seeing through us. And so we should always make sure that we are speaking the word, speaking the truth, and looking out to offer salvation, leading him to the one that can save anybody, regardless of your history, your background. That's what we as believers should be doing. We should also be praying for each other on a daily basis, constantly. We should also be looking to help in the ministries, not just coming there and just sitting on a pew and leaving it up to just certain auxiliaries or, you know, to make you feel good or to give you what you think it is that God has for you today. But you have the relationship with Christ right now that you want. Amen? Let's go ahead and start our scripture for today. And let's go ahead and get in the Word. I just love the Lord. I just love the Lord. And I just thank him for everything that he's done. We're reading today in 1 Corinthians 15, and we're going to read, starting at verse 3 through, here we go. It said, "For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, and that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that, he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers. At the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep." Verse 7 says, "Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born." Amen. The appearance, you know, it's the difference. We're just going to start real quickly, and we're going to go into our prayer. This is Paul who's writing this. Let's make sure we have that. This is Paul who's writing this to the Church of Corinth, okay? The Church of Corinth. Well, let's just do our prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I just love coming into worship and praise and just talking to you. And I just want to say thank you. I thank you for another day's journey. I thank you for all of the listeners, dear Father. I thank you for hearing those crying hearts. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for lifting up the bowed down heads. Thank you for making a way out of no way for somebody right now, right now. Thank you for a provision and opening up blinded eyes so they can see the snares and the traps and the serpents that is luring around them with smiles and short skirts and with swag. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for blessing all the preachers and teachers and leaders and that are really out there trying to live according to your word, that is really studying your word, that is really giving time to your word, to the communities, to the cities, to the states, to the countries. I just thank you, Lord Jesus, for what you're doing. And now may I just decrease, dear Father, and remove me and forgive me of all of my sins, I ask. All the sins for things that I may have thought. Dear Father, anything that is in me that is not of you, I just ask you to just take it out. Reveal those things, dear Father, because I truly want to be right. And even though I may think I'm right sometimes, that my thoughts could be wrong, I want my thoughts to line up with your word. So remove them, dear Father, and I ask you to replace those things with your righteousness, with your understanding, with your patience, with your love, with your joy. And with those things, may I shine them and show them to the world. Here we are, dear Father. We ask that you come and teach us your word like no one can but you. Bless your people all over creation. In Jesus' name we pray, amen, amen, and amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Just wanted to share a couple of things as we get started here. You know, when we speak about the scriptures that we just read and you know, the death and raising from the dead and then being resurrected, just wanted to touch on it just a minute about the difference of that. You know, actually, Jesus actually raised three people from the dead according to the scriptures. And, you know, the little boy on the funeral procession, and the mother was in such anguish, and he stopped and he raised the little boy from the dead. He just, his heart was so touched, you know. And then we have the little girl that her father had sent someone to tell him that, you know, hey, look what's going on, my daughter. And he raised her from the dead. And then we have Brother Lazarus, you know, and that he had been in the grave. And he said it was even an odor. And he raised him from the dead. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Isn't that a good God? Isn't that a God that you would want to serve, that has such compassion that he stops whatever he was doing and he raised them from the dead? Amen. Well, also in those same categories, Jesus' health is a little different from the three. You see, Jesus was resurrected. And you see, evangelist, what is the difference there? It's a big difference that we need to simplify and get a true understanding of. I heard something preached, and it was differently said. Well, let's get the true understanding of it according to the word now. Not according to Minister Vine, but according to God's word. You see, being raised from the dead, you have a criteria that you must follow. If you have been raised from the dead, you must get this, die again. Amen? You must die again. If you've been raised from the dead, you must die again. The young man that he raised from the dead, that little boy, I'm not too sure how old he grew to be, if he was an older man or what the situation, but one thing we know is that he did one day die again. Amen? That young lady, the king's daughter, she died again. You know, Lazarus, he died again. But all of them would look at this picture of Jesus. See, once you're resurrected, he never had to die again. He was resurrected. He didn't have to die again. He didn't have to do it again. Amen? Amen. I thank you, Lord Jesus, just for your love, your faithfulness. You see, Christ is very present. He was always with his disciples. And after he died, it solidified their understanding of God's plan for man. You know, Christ gave them directions. He gave them hope. And he gave them a mission to reach the world with the good news that he is risen. With the good news
and it forever changed their life. And it forever is changing our lives. And it is forever going to change the lives that we are to speak to, that we are to minister to. His word. The same way that it changed the disciples' lives, the same way that it changed your life, if that's the same way, that it's going to take all that he did. He conquered hell. He conquered death. He conquered the grave. And we have hurting people out here. Out here that's just living in their own hell. God has already conquered it. And we're not doing our jobs when we're just preaching to each other, hallelujah, about the goodness, about what he can do to us. Our testimonies are so important. We can't hide behind the mask of where we're at today. We've got to reveal, raise up that shawl and reveal what you've been through. You've got to be able to show your scars of life that you've been through. That's your testimony. That's your cross that you've been carrying. Someone is trying to get released from this bad drug that's just got their mind all bothered up that they can't even think about their families. It's not that they don't love their families. It's not that they want to deliberately disrespect their families by stealing from them and lying from them. But it's a stronghold. Do you hear what I'm saying? It's a stronghold. And we, as believers, know how they can get relieved, and yet we dare not speak of the Lord, yet we dare not offer an invitation to introduce them to the doctor that can heal that sickness inside of them, that can remove that disease or their distortion in their mind. Yeah. And then sometimes we look down our nose at them, and we do everything, but as we're looking here in the Word, that's not the way that our Creator gave to his Son to give us as an example. So we are to be leading by the example that was set for us. You know, as we talk a little bit about the Easter message, so you know that when Jesus went to the cross for whose sins was it? Was it just the ones that are now believers? Well, when he went to the cross for all of our sins. So, my brother, whatever you've done, that's your sin. Me and whatever's in my heart that is covered by the blood of Jesus, it is for my sin. Whatever it is, whether you disagree with what's going on in the White House and in Congress and the Senate, that God still died for their sin. You know, you said, but this person over here has done a lot of nasty, dirty deeds. And, you know, but God gave his Son for their sin. So, you know, when we talk about how Jesus went to the cross for to cover our sins, the sins of the world, he went for you. He went for me. His blood was split and spilled for the remission of our sin. You know, when you're in remission and you're covered, you're cleared of whatever it was that was attacking you. That's exactly what he died for. He gave his life for us, for the remission of our sin. And, you know, it was perfect. And it was a finished work. It was done. It said it was done. Through the cross, it was done. He gave us all the opportunity to be saved by just simply asking for his forgiveness and receiving his salvation through his redeeming blood. I just want to touch, you know, back in the Garden of Eden, it started way back there. You know, even when Adam and Eve, they chose to go against God's word, where everything was already prepared for them for eternity, but they chose to go against and for the do the forbidden thing that he asked not to do, correct? That was a choice. So at that point, after they had made that choice, it separated us from getting into all of the things that God had planned, he had prepared for us. Now, in order for us to get back there, because they made the choice to do that, we now have to choose to be with God. You know, he said, I'm still right here for you. He put them out of the Eden, out of the garden, protected, put an angel there and protected so that they couldn't come back in. Now they got to choose to come back in. Now they got to choose to live right. Now they got to choose to, through going whatever direction it is, he said, I'm going to show you the pathway to get back in. Here's my righteousness. I want to show you something. You know, sometimes you can give your child so much that they really don't understand what it means to be out there and earn it. And sometimes you have to pull rank, and you have to pull things from them and make them see, get out there themselves and earn it and see just what it is the mom and dad had to do to get you where you're at today. Yeah, you're not going to just block the door. You're going to always have access to for them to get back in, but you want them to see it in a different light. And that's the way it is. So we have to choose to follow his pathway of righteousness to get back to him. He said, I'm going to come and help you. I'm going to bring you in the direction. I'm going to lead you. I'm going to guide you. But it has to be your choice. You see, so where you're at right now, it has to be your choice. You can be behind that pulpit and you know what's going on. It's not right. It's your choice to decide. I'm going to stop the demonic sermons that I'm giving, and I'm going to choose to really follow you this time, Father. I was mad about this. I was upset. I was I was hurt, and I was a dangerous person, but I'm going to stop. This time I'm going to turn it around. I really want to get to know you. I choose to walk with you this time. Because he rose from the dead just for you, just for me. You know, his work as a man was complete. So his work on earth was complete. It was done. He lived our way, and he was successfully living our way and still sinned not. You know, he had not fallen for any temptation from the devil, regardless of what you may hear out in the secular world. He had successfully become the perfect sacrifice for us. And when he rose, ladies and gentlemen, when he rose, it was like an open display of victory over the devil. What had happened in the garden so many years before had been rectified. Man could once again know God in a personal way. See, Christ had won that victory. He had conquered hell. He had conquered death. He had conquered the grave. And he opened the door for all of us to have real access again to our Father. And then he ascended into the heavens. I just love that. He ascended into the heavens to take his rightful place at the throne of God. At the throne of God. And today, as we speak, the scriptures tell us that he's seated at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing? It tells us that he's making intercession on our behalf. Hallelujah. You know, the Jewish community, the Jewish leaders, they're very careful about how they throw around the word Jehovah, our God. Because it's such a sacred name that they don't let every other word come out of our mouth. It's Jesus, Jehovah. And we get so comfortable because let me just add that they understand that there's power in the name of Jesus. Sometimes we get so comfortable that it's just another word and we forget about that there's power in the name of Jesus. So the world can live all kind of ways, and then they can just throw out the name because they hear you said, and they think that it's something to do. But we need to stop and be reminded. This is a sacred name.
That's a name that every knee must bow to. That's a name that every tongue must confess, that he is Lord over all lords. Amen? The name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. We sing about it, but then that bill comes due and we just break down and throw everything away, but we forget about that there is power in the name of Jesus. We sing about it, but then we can't figure out how to get out of that demonic relationship, how to get off of that wheel that's just carrying you over and over again, touching and destroying everything in your pathway. We forget about there's power in the name of Jesus, and we search for it in a friend, and we search for it in corruption, and we search for it in all kind of different avenues, but we forget there's power. There's power. Power. Ever wonder working power in the name of Jesus. There's no expiration date on it. It's as good today as it was yesterday, and it will be tomorrow. There is power in the name of Jesus, I come to tell you. Hallelujah. And our God is interceding for you to make the right choice. In other words, he's praying for you. Can you imagine that? He's praying for you. That's right, you. His physical work on earth may have been finished, but he continues to work from the throne every day, praying for you. Praying for you. Praying for me. You know, today we go to church and we follow the Easter traditions, and sometimes we don't even consider the great and miraculous reason for our celebration. You see, Easter is about more than chocolate and white shoes and a fancy outfit. It's about a risen Savior. Sometimes the preachers get so now that they don't even want to talk about nothing else but how good you look out there in your Easter frocks. That's what they used to say in the South. I don't know if they say that everywhere else or not, but, you know, or they get so excited that they forget to talk about a risen Savior, our Jesus Christ. They can forget to remind you that he is alive. He's alive. Just think about that. Don't let that miracle slip away from you. Because this is an event that happened and changed the course of not only history, but also your life. Don't let that miracle slip away from you. The miracle of knowing that he is alive. The miracle of knowing that he can rescue you. The miracle of knowing that he can hide you in the midst of right now where you're at from your enemy. And without the resurrection, our religion, would be like any other, just a set of moral codes. But because of the resurrection, we can know without a shadow of doubt that we serve a living, miracle-working Christ. And we know that everything he said is true. Everything he said is true. We don't serve a boring God. We don't serve a boring God. And our faith is a supernatural faith. Amen? You know, it started with the virgin. The miracle of the virgin birth. You know, Christ's life was a miracle itself. He sinned not. He did miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle during his ministry, more than all the books of the world could contain. And those miracles that he began has not stopped. Sometimes we live life because we act like that the miracles was then. But all the miraculous powers are still working right now. Right now.
through you and I. And that's why we have to make sure we tell our story. It's working right now through you laying in that crack house. You're not dead. You're still able to think about the Lord, and you know it's something different. You don't know which direction to go, but you know it's something that you're missing. And it's not that high that you're running after, because you just can never get it right. It's just like an itch, and you're scratching all around it, but you can't get to the point of contact. Yeah, yeah, that's because the Holy Ghost is speaking to you. It's tapping on your shoulder. It's tapping on your arm in that vein right there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's blocking you from death. He's blocking you from death right now. You could have been dead a long time ago. All the promiscuous acts that you have performed, and now you're able to still walk on and get a family, and someone still fall deeply in love with you after all you've been through, after all you've put people through, and God can still forgive. That's a good God. That's a loving God. Now we got to turn that same love and reflect it out on others. We got to take that same forgiveness and reflect it out on others. You say, yeah, I did this, but I never did that. It doesn't matter whether you did this or that. What matters is you did. And we got to take that same power that Jesus has given us, and we got to forgive with it. We got to love with it. We got to protect. We got to reach out and help. We got to pray with it. Different. We don't serve a boring God. And our faith is a supernatural faith. Miracles are still going on right here today. You know, he's sinned not. He's bought you through. He's bringing me through. And his ministry still has not stopped. You know, even today, people call upon the name of Jesus and with works like salvation. They call upon the name of Jesus and they receive healing. They call upon the name of Jesus for deliverance, favor, and much more. See, because of the cross, we have access to God. And that gives us access to miracles. All of his miraculous powers, we have direct access to it because he is alive. And because he lives, we can live. He has joy, we can live in joy. Because he is peace, we can live in peace. We can live in love. We can live in patience. We can live in gentleness, goodness, and faith. And every other good thing from the Spirit of God, live in. You know, we wouldn't have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit or the ability to produce his fruit in our life if it wasn't for the resurrection. If it wasn't for the resurrection. See, it is what the resurrection is what seals our faith. So when we say he is risen, we're not just repeating the words of an angel. We're declaring the victory of humanity. We have hope because he is risen. You know? We have joy because he is risen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, God may have to do a double dunk on some of us to get us where we want to be. But Jesus is still changing each and every one of us daily. As we spend time with him in prayer and we spend time in his word, he helps us to grow in our wisdom and in our knowledge of him. You know, I don't care how long you've been saved and how many years you've been carrying your Bible and everyone's been recognizing you, and you may be a personality that we all know you when we see you, but none of us have arrived yet, is what I'm trying to say. You're still growing. Always be willing to learn. Don't ever get to a point where you're unteachable. I heard one of the pastors say tonight at a service, make sure you never get to a point where you are unteachable. Amen? He's still working on you. Following Christ is adventurous. You know how? Did you know if you are following Christ, you are adventurous? Reach out and tell somebody that tomorrow. You know, being translated out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son, that's great. That is great. Look back where he's brought you from, the dark places, over and over and over again. Christ has made me clean so that I can walk in the throne of God as his child. I'm forgiven of all of my sins, my past sins, my present sins, and my future sins. All I have to do is call on his name, and the blood of Jesus just washes over me and cleanses me for all unrighteousness. Glory to God. You know, the Lord loves you too. And if you don't believe me, just ask him, and he'll tell you. He'll tell you about his love for you. Hallelujah. He'll tell you about his love for you. His word reminds you of his love for you. He reassures you of his love. And it's assurance that keeps us going and reminds us that while we serve such a loving God, a God who died for me, who rose for me, and who is seated in heavenly places praying for me. How can we hold that kind of message in? We've got to tell somebody. Jesus wants us to tell everybody that he is the resurrection and the life. He can save anybody, anytime, anywhere, with any problem, any way that he chooses to. He can save prostitutes, alcoholics, liars, drug addicts, whoever. And it doesn't matter if you're good in society's eyes, or it doesn't matter if you're bad in society's eyes. People must know Christ. Jesus gave his disciples directions when he said to them in Mark 16 and 15, as we close, he said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He didn't say what your status was in life. To every Christian. And that is the mission of this ministry. And I consider it an honor to share the great proclamation with the world that they need to know that, like I know, that Jesus is alive and Jesus is doing well. I remind you as we close tonight, the resurrection of God completely changed the disciples' lives. Once they saw Christ had risen and they received the Holy Spirit, they were on fire with the message of the salvation through Jesus Christ. The resurrection of our Lord completely is changing your life day by day by day. Don't you let that miracle pass you by. Don't you just think that Easter is about some chocolate bunnies and eggs, getting a new outfit and white shoes. But it's about what Jesus did. It's about what he's still doing for you right now. It's about what he is going to do for you in the future, that he already has plans for you. And where you're at right now, you're stuck in a stronghold that you're just being bowed down with habitual lying, I feel, on somebody's spirit right now. You think of the truth, but the lie comes out. You think you're doing right, but the wrong thing is what's done. You're just on the sideline. Don't you give up. You get yourself from under that lie that your daddy was a professional liar. Your daddy lied all the time. Don't you give up. I reach out to someone who is
reaching out to other gods, and maybe you're not aware. Maybe you think that you're just in love. You're just loving something. Or maybe someone. But you're scared to leave it. If you can't put it down and walk away from it, you're worshiping another god. If you can't turn your back from it and do what is right according to the word, you're loving another god. You're serving another god. You can't serve both right and wrong. Anything with two heads is a monster. And what you're creating is not what you're saying out of your mouth. Any life, our life, my life, your life, the life that we live must match up with the word. You said, but I'm not perfect. See, I know that you're listening to the wrong and not the right. Because there is no perfect person. So that statement never would have to be made again from any of us. Because we know we're not speaking of perfection on this side. You see? See, the enemy will keep trying to keep you bound by telling you things like that. They're just picking on you. They think they're perfect. We know we're not perfect. But we're trying. You know, real quickly, what was the difference? One of the things difference is between Peter and his betrayal and Judas' betrayal. Have you ever thought about that? They both committed betrayal. Is that correct? But the difference was that Judas couldn't forgive himself for his betrayal. So he ran from God after he betrayed him. He ran from God. But Peter didn't do that. Now, he was just as guilty of betrayal as he was, as Judas was, but he still didn't run away from God. Peter clung on to what he knew was true. He knew that Jesus was the Son of the living God. He knew that he was the forgiver of all men, even though he had betrayed him. Peter ran to God for forgiveness. He fell on the mercy of God. And I believe the reason that the angel told Mary to specifically tell Peter about the resurrection is because the Lord knew that Peter was feeling totally defeated and discouraged by what he had done. He knew he was forgiven, but his heart still hurt over it. And he had put his whole life into the ministry of Jesus. He had given up all to serve him, and in the end, he betrayed him. So that angel was a ministering spirit, and God used him to tell Mary not to forget about Peter. See, this was his way of comforting Peter, because Peter ran to God. Peter fell on the mercy of God. This was God saying, all is forgiven. Christ has risen, and the angel said he would see Peter very soon in Galilee. You may be at that discouraging point in your life right now. Maybe you feel like you've been betrayed. Maybe you feel like you betrayed the Lord. If so, realize that no matter what you've done, it's forgivable. Not only is it forgivable, we serve such a good God that it's forgettable. We got to realize that God is dispatching angels to minister unto you. His precious Holy Spirit is praying for you. Because after all, Jesus died on the cross for you, right? He died so that you could be forgiven. So never be like Judas and think that there is no hope for you. Don't get in your little pity party corner and just say, oh, you know, they're just picking on me. Oh, they just don't understand. Oh, they're going to turn their back on me when I need them the most. Oh. Open your ears and listen to what's been told to you. Open your eyes and see what's really happening. You said, I can quit this habit anytime I want to. I can leave this demonic spirit anytime I want to, and I don't have to be with this man. I don't have to be with this woman. Try it. Do you really want to? Are you running away from Jesus? Are you being a Judas? Always hope, because the mercy of the Lord endures forever. The mercy of the Lord endures forever. But it's your choice. It's your choice. It's the enemy's job to distract you, to get you all bogged down. But it's your choice to accept his invitation to come back into the Garden of Eden. And if you really are ready, just repeat after me as we close. If you just don't know the Lord, you never accepted him as your personal Savior, I'd just like to take the opportunity to lead you into a simple prayer. It is simply all you have to do is open up your heart and let these words be your guide. Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. I ask you to cleanse my heart and make me a new person in you right now. I believe that you are the Son of God and that you were sent by the Father to die on the cross for me, Jesus. I want to thank you for loving me enough to die for me. And I accept all that your shed blood bought for me on that cross. And I receive you now as my Savior and Lord forever. Amen. Amen. If you have just prayed that prayer, I'm so excited for you. Whether you are just now being introduced into Christ or you're deciding that I'm going to do the right thing, I'm going to stop whatever it is that I'm doing that's not according to the word. And don't get caught up of hiding behind the devil's lies. But he understands we can't afford two places right now. But he understands that we're doing this. Or we're just going to move in together, but we're not going to be into any intimate relationship. Come on now. Can a man carry bosoms of fire? Fire in his bosom? In his lap? No. Without being burned? No. Don't fool yourself. According to 2 Corinthians 5 and 17, you are a new creature in Christ. Get in a Bible teaching church. You can reach me at walkwithmegod@aol.com. I am your host, Minister Von Dimmon, and I will be back here tomorrow night. We will continue on as we go into Resurrection Weekend. God bless you and keep you until we meet again. God is love. Amen. Amen.